KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, December 18th. Could a national database help cut back on retail theft? More on that next, but first, the headlines. Multiple entities join forces to open 100 affordable apartment units in San Ysidro. The result is the Iris on Dairy Mart Road, which celebrated its grand opening earlier this week. The apartments are going to low-income families or individuals making anywhere from 25 to 60% of the area median income. The project was constructed by housing developer National Core. The county invested millions into the project, and the San Diego Housing Commission awarded vouchers to help pay rent for those with extremely low incomes. The Iris is across the street from a trolley stop and Howard Lane Park. All units at the Iris are required to remain affordable for 55 years. National City offices will close for 2 weeks starting Monday. This includes rec centers and libraries. During this time, workers will go unpaid. It's all part of a furlough agreement with city employees. Business license fees and parking citations can still be paid online. Other physical payments made outside the main front doors of City Hall won't be processed until offices open again on January 5th. There are threats to suspend Tesla's license to sell EVs in California for 30 days. That's the punishment being recommended to California's Department of Motor Vehicles. This comes after a judge concluded the company misled consumers about the capabilities of their self-driving features, adding that terms autopilot and full self-driving were deceptive marketing tactics. Tesla now has a 90-day window to make adjustments that more clearly communicate the limits of their self-driving technology to avoid having their sales license suspended in the state. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
The County District Attorney's Office has prosecuted hundreds of the lowest players in local theft schemes, but reporter Katie Heisen says the people in charge remain out of reach.
San Diego District Attorney Summer Steffen spoke before the House Judiciary Committee Wednesday. She says her office has prosecuted more than 330 people for organized retail crime in the past few years. The thefts account for more than $3 million in store losses.
But this is just the tip of the iceberg.
She says despite the resources they've put toward it,
we cannot get through as a county prosecutor to the level of the organized criminals that are pulling the strings and that are responsible for reselling the products.
Steffen asked the lawmakers to create a national database to track these crimes. The scope and implications of organized retail crime is unclear. There's no standard definition or way of tracking it. Still, it's been used to justify recent tough-on-crime decisions, like the deployment of the National Guard to Memphis, a majority black city, and Proposition 36, enabling prosecutors to send many more San Diegans into already overcrowded jails. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
New state legislation is aiming to set stricter limits on exposure to a toxic gas created by sewage. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says the change could help communities near the Tijuana River.
California's current limit for hydrogen sulfide is designed for odor control. It's not an indicator of health risks. Research has shown communities near the polluted Tijuana River experience prolonged exposure to the toxic gas. They've reported symptoms like coughs, nausea, and headaches. Kim Prather is an atmospheric chemist at UC San Diego. She has led that research. She says the state standard doesn't inform the public what frequent spikes or chronic exposure mean for their health.
I can't tell you how many emails and calls I get. Is the air safe to breathe? And I don't know how to answer that question.
State Senator Steve Padilla is using Prather's data to introduce Senate Bill 58. It would require the state to consider updating the hydrogen sulfide standard. In a statement, Padilla says, quote, "The regulatory standard monitoring the very air our families breathe is so woefully out of date, leaving communities at risk." Padilla says the Senate will hear his proposal in January. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
122 years ago this week, the era of powered flight began when Orville and Wilbur Wright flew the airplane they built for the first time. Reporter John Carroll says an event at the San Diego Air and Space Museum to honor the anniversary didn't quite go as planned.
Right here at the top of this story, you were supposed to hear the firing up of an exact replica of the engine that powered the Wright Flyer, but the engine decided not to cooperate. The Air and Space Museum's supervising machinist Robert McClure explains what went wrong.
And then we got enough fuel, then we had no ignition, and we couldn't get, something got shorted out, so we had no ignition to fire the fuel off.
McClure says he and his team will start working on repairs right away. Museum president and CEO Jim Kidrick says the engine issue is something the Wright brothers likely faced.
It's really probably indicative of what they experienced many, many, many times before that first flight, realizing that first one was only 12 seconds and 120 feet.
Both Kidrick and McClure say the engine will run for next year's commemoration of the first powered flight. John Carroll, KPBS News.
With just days to go before Christmas, elementary students in San Diego are feeling the holiday magic. Reporter Jacob Ayer says at one San Diego Unified school, free gifts and a surprise guest made some wishes come true.
Well, a ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Santa rode in on his sleigh to hear the wish lists of many young students as part of Choyas Mead Elementary School's second annual winter holiday toy giveaway. Over 600 students received a gift donation selected by their teachers and wrapped by parent volunteers. That includes first grader Ariana Perez Mojica, who's feeling excited about the holidays.
Well, you get to spend time with your family, and you get to, you have gifts.
Christy Hunter-Clark is the school's principal. She says nearly all of the student population lives below the poverty line.
For our community, and being able to give back and give just a little, means a lot for our kids.
Choyas Mead Elementary partners with different community organizations to gather gifts for the students. San Diego Unified starts its two-week winter break after school gets out this Friday. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Max Moses is an internationally acclaimed muralist who began by spray painting graffiti illegally in New York. Arts reporter Beth Accomando visited his graffiti gardens in Encanto and says it is a hidden gem in San Diego's Black Arts and Culture District.
You can't see graffiti gardens from the street. And even when you enter the outdoor space, the scale and beauty won't hit you till you turn around and look back at the long stretch of cinder block walls, walls that Max Moses immediately tried to rent.
I think it was during COVID. I'm a painter. I love to paint big. And I was like going to people and asking them, can I paint their wall? And oh, I'm so tired of asking people, can I paint their wall? Like, I need my own place to just paint. And so my mentor told me about this place. And landlord or the owner of the property showed me this location. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, she was showing me the inside, and I was like, no, I don't want to rent that spot. I just want to rent the walls.
walls where his bold colors can explode and his dynamic curves won't feel constrained. But finding such large canvases is a challenge. So the art that grows and blossoms at Graffiti Gardens is ever changing.
In fact, the walls that are behind me are in process now of changing. So they always change. And we do events where we invite artists from other parts of the city or other cities to come and just change and transform the place all at one time.
Accepting the impermanence of his art may come from his early roots tagging as a kid in New York.
Coming from the whole graffiti movement, like, you know, you're out in the street and you're painting, and then you know how you have people that may not like you so much, and then they go over what you do. And like, you know, so it could be a battle. Once it's out in the street, it doesn't belong to you anymore. And it's just a release. So I try to keep that same mentality of just like, yo, it's done, it's released, it's out there. What happens, happens. Because I'm still alive, I can create some more.
And Moses can always create more. And through Graffiti Gardens, he can provide space for other artists too.
And Graffiti Gardens is this sanctuary of art for artists and art lovers and just beautiful human beings that want to be inspired.
In addition to the outdoor space, Moses also has a studio and now works with the charter school that shares the building with him. Next month, he'll also host a two-day workshop.
We're doing this thing called Graffiti and Beyond, which is like teaching you like the basic forms of graffiti as an art form and how it's grown in the culture that it comes from, but then also mural making, because it's important. How do you scale up a drawing and take it to the next level? And there's so much more technology and stuff available now, so we just want to like teach some courses and offer those opportunities for young people.
Opportunities that he didn't have as a young kid, looking for identity and connection, and finding it in writing on trains.
Listen, I'm from New York, and I started in the 70s. It was hated with venom, like with venom.
So you had to paint fast before you got caught.
I paint with a lot of young cats now, and like, man, you guys been, you're here for days and days and days. And like, bro, we didn't have that kind of luxury.
Yeah.
Like, we're very direct. We're like, bro, like, boom, boom, boom. Because like, you know, there's this sense of urgency.
Moses is still driven by a sense of urgency to create. So it was difficult when Graffiti Gardens was flooded in January 2024 during the heavy storms and had to close for months.
It's kind of biblical, right? It's like after the flood and then it's like, all right, bang. It's like a... almost like a cleansing of like, yo, what's gonna take place next? So I don't know, we seem, you know, we're resilient. I personally have a lot of resilience in my being, you know, being an entrepreneur, like you have to just have that, you know, and be able to face the trials and tribulations and move forward and not be stymied by any of those kind of unforeseen occurrences, you know what I mean? And that's what makes us stronger, makes us more assertive and strong and beautiful.
You can find the hidden gem of Graffiti Gardens at 6785 Imperial Avenue, right at the edge of the San Diego Black Arts and Culture District. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
Graffiti Gardens is located in Encanto, and the Graffiti and Beyond workshop takes place January 10th and 11th. More information is available on Eventbrite. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.